Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, teacher.
Mr. Ecker.
Oh.
Okay, gentlemen.
Hello.
I don't have a bell.
Ding, 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 ding.
Thanks for coming this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would show us the truth in your scriptures this morning, Lord. Just open them to our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for your many blessings and for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick review of the last few chapters in Romans. Chapter 5, Paul discussed the peace with God and our salvation from his wrath. And then he went to chapter 6, and he was discussing sanctification and sin. And then in the last chapter, 7, he discussed sanctification and the law. And in this chapter 8, he's discussing sanctification and the Holy Spirit. And I had a little pop quiz because they're so fun. So, the important points in chapter 8, Paul talked about in verses 1 through 9, he was talking about the freedom that believers have from condemnation. Verse 1, there is now no condemnation. Yep. And verses 10 through 17, he's talking about the privileges that believers have as children of God. Uh-huh. And that's found in verse 16, where it says, the Spirit testifies that we are the sons of God. And verses 18 through 25, he talks about the believers and their hope. Oh, sorry. There's your answer. Despite their trials. And hope is found in verse 24. For in hope we have been saved. See, I have all the answers here, and it makes a big difference. Verses 26 and 27 talked about the believers and their assistance from the Spirit in what do we do when we talk to God? We pray. Yeah. Verse 26, he intercedes for the saints. Verse 28 through 31 talked about their interest, the believer's interest in the love of who loves us. Yeah. Yep. That's it. Verse 28. Causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. And then the last one that we're looking through now, 32 through 39, the believer's final triumph through Christ. And that's in verse 37, in all things we conquer through him who loved us. And I found this quote from John Stott that I thought was appropriate to get started here. Concerning this chapter and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the essential contrast which Paul paints is between the weakness of the law and the power of the Spirit. Moreover, against indwelling sin, which is the reason the law is unable to help us in our moral struggle, Paul now sets the indwelling Spirit, who is both our liberator now from the law of sin and death, and the guarantee of the resurrection and the eternal glory in the end. So I'm going to read through this section. We're looking at 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over to us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, not any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This chapter has really been encouraging. So these last nine verses, it seems like Paul's kind of summing up chapters 5 through 8. In just this last part here, previous chapters, Paul looked at the past and then the present, and his focus now in this part seems to be on eternity. So, how do you define eternity? Yeah.
Forever and ever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and we look at eternity from a human perspective. So that,
and that's really hard, really, mm-hmm. because when you think of eternity, you connect it with God, you know, because he has been from eternity past throughout eternity future. Mm-hmm. And it's his eternity.
Mm-hmm.
It's his eternity.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about that song that we really love, How Great Thou Art. And there's a verse in there referring to when we've all been here 10,000 years. But I don't think that's really accurate. Because I mean, when we get to heaven, there aren't going to be calendars. There aren't going to be clocks. There isn't going to be any record of time. We're not going to be talking to somebody and they say, well, I've been here 10,000 years. I've only been here 5,238 days. No, we're not keeping track of any of this. I don't think it is either. Yeah. But we do get kind of caught up in, you know, especially unbelievers, what's eternity going to be like? I mean, forever and ever, and it just kind of drags on and on and on. I don't think that's going to be the way we will look at it.
Unbelievers, though, they are
forever. Mm-hmm. Right. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? So, how do you see this verse as being encouraging?
Well, nothing is impossible with God. So, if you belong to the Lord, no one's going to be able to stand against you if it's in God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is going to take you down.
Right, Tom? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, Paul told us a few verses back that all things work together for good. And so there's anything else is opposition to God's plan. And the way Paul says this, it's almost like he says, if God is for us, but it's almost like he's saying, since God is for us, who can be against us? And if God is for us, God is infinitely wise, and he chooses to direct us. God is infinitely powerful. And he's chosen to protect us. And if God's infinitely good and he's chosen to save us, what kind of evil can stand against God's will in that? Yeah. So we're safe from persecution, from ungodly men and difficult trials. And like he says, all things work together for good.
Especially our spirits are safe.
Yeah.
The body could be destroyed.
Right.
The spirit. Mm-hmm. We know that no matter what happens to this body, we are still going to be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So how can we be sure that God's going to give us everything for our glorification?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God cannot lie. That's what he mm-hmm. said to us.
And when we think that he didn't spare his own son, you know. Would somebody read Genesis 22, verse 12? So he's told Abraham to take Isaac and sacrifice him. And right at the last minute, God spares him. And it's the same word spare there as used in verse 32, where, you know, will God spare his own son? And when we look at Abraham, God commended him because he, you know, he showed his love for God over even his only son. So, yeah.
But also, you know, when you're reading through that passage, Abraham believed that God could do anything, even if it meant to raise the dead. So,
mm-hmm.
he had faith and yes, he was going to obey to sacrifice, but he knew that God had promised him he was going to be through Isaac.
Mm-hmm. And he had faith in God's promise, yeah. Yeah. And so, if God had not sent his son to the cross, it wouldn't be logical to start this whole thing going and then not finish the purpose that he designed. And part of the design was Christ to be sacrificed. In Romans 33 and 34, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So what kind of meanings do you see in those questions that he's asking? He's asking, who will bring a charge against God's elect? And then he asks, who is the one who condemns?
Well, I believe Satan is the one who condemns. He's always there trying to point mm-hmm. fingers, just like he did for Job.
Right.
You got your hand upon him. See,
mm-hmm.
he's protected.
Right. Yeah. So Satan's always the accuser. But the only thing he can accuse is our consciences. Because the day of condemnation, that's past. Christ paid our penalty on the cross.
Satan will always be the persecutor. Jesus will be our defender.
Mm-hmm. Would you read Revelation 6, verse 10?
And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?
Yeah. We look at the condemnation that Satan wants to bring against us, and he doesn't stand a chance because it's all been paid. The Father declared us righteous, so he's not going to condemn us. And Christ died, he rose again, he lives for us, he intercedes for us, so he's not going to condemn us. No one that can condemn us, because we're God's elect. He declared us righteous and has given us everything we need to get through this life. Yeah, Beth?
Well, I was just thinking, who can bring a charge against us? I think the hard thing in all of that is there are people that bring a charge against you. And the sad thing about it is sometimes it's other elect.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know. Well, God's in charge. I don't know that we have, I don't know that it'd do us any good, because he knows everything. If we're in the right, then those charges can't stick. I think that we have to have the faith that as long as we're pointed in the right direction, we can't be touched. I know that's a tough one. We get charged from all different directions too.
Yeah.
So. Right.
And, whether we've done something wrong or if he's
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if, even when the charge is false, I think we still can go, well, God doesn't condemn us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're okay.
Right.
But it's really hard not to try.
I know. That's our nature, is to fight back. Yeah, I know. Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have all of our human qualities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's true. Romans 35 through 37. But in all these things, we... Oh, 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. These experiences that Paul's talking about in 35, how do all these things relate to this question that he asks? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kind of starts out in 35, he's talking about trials and experiences and things that affect us physically. And then he moves into greater things farther down. But Paul's kind of giving us like a biography of things that have happened to him. And you know, then he's saying, they don't separate me.
It's like we were talking about just a little bit ago. Things can affect your body, the mortal body.
Mm-hmm.
But our spirits are safe with the Lord, with God. And they can, you know, they can kill your body.
Mm-hmm. But he's assuring us that we're going through these trials and it builds our character. And the more we go through, the stronger we get. And the closer we walk with God if we're growing. So.
If you're a believer, the only thing separating from God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you've got free will, you've got choice.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you choose to not, then that's you choosing.
Right.
I mean, if you're a true believer, you're not even going to think that route. But
yeah.
That's the way I see it.
And through this chapter, the theme is the Holy Spirit working in us. And if we trust the Holy Spirit to get us through the different trials that we have, that's the reassurance. That's why we were given the Holy Spirit, is to work in our hearts, to plead for us, and to reassure us. Back in Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Verse 36, Paul took this from Psalms 42 or 44:22. Could somebody read that one? Psalm 44. Verse 22.
For thy sake we are killed all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.
See, God's reminding us that that He hears us. He sees all the hardships that we're going through. This from Psalm was Israel was crying out. The Assyrians were moving through Judah and they were conquering town after town and they're heading for Israel or for Jerusalem. And Israel was pleading, you know, God, are you asleep? You know, don't you see what's going on? Come and rescue us. And the purpose of that was to draw Israel closer to God. They went through that trial to put their trust in God because they had fallen away and this was His way of bringing them back. Paul's point here, anyhow, is that we face all kinds of trials, tribulations, and He sees what's going on, and we might not know what He's doing. I mean, we don't understand His plan, but we still have to have faith and trust that He's doing it for a good purpose. Verse 37. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. What does it mean? This is also translated in some years. It's more than conquerors. What does that mean? Yeah.
Well, more than conquerors, we're sons of the living God. Uh-huh. We're sons of daughters of the living God.
Uh-huh.
Sons of daughters, we are heirs apparent with Jesus Christ to the throne of heaven. You know, we have access, straight access. That, what's more powerful than that? I mean, we have conquered.
We can't be touched.
Right.
In John 15:18, Jesus said, "If they hated me, they'll hate you." From the world's perspective, oh, Tom, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so from the world's perspective, we as Christians, they don't expect us to ever win. You know, they've got the power. They have the money to buy whatever they need. They have, you know, all the influence and all these different things. And so the way they look at it, we're out of luck. But the good news is that in all things that work together for good, we are, like Paul says, more than conquerors. To be more than a conqueror is like saying no matter who wins, we're still victorious.
I like the way he puts it, overwhelmingly conquer.
Yeah. To be more than conquerors is like saying no matter what happens, we have the Lord with us. And
it's kind of funny, that whole phrase, we overwhelmingly conquer, is just one word in the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the word, you know, the shoe company, Nike, which means victory in Greek.
Yeah.
Hyper Nike.
Hyper Nike.
Hooper Nikeo.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that Nike is the root of Nikeo. So Nikeo is victory or conquer, and hyper is over or above. It's more than conquer. So, in somebody read, well, I don't need to read this one. Daniel 3:25. This is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar sees them walking around in there. And there's a fourth person that looks like the Son of God. And so what's Nebuchadnezzar thinking? It's like, we threw him in there. They're walking around. They're doing great. We're the ones that are suffering. You know, what's going on here? That's what it's like to be more than a conqueror. Those guys trusted in God. They were faithful. And even a fiery furnace couldn't touch them. Huh.
My favorite part of that story is that they say that we will not bow down because our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that just shows that they have real confidence in
mm-hmm.
God. Their whole life.
Yeah.
It didn't matter to them if they died. But God, they knew God was able.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The ropes that they were bound with came off. Yeah. But anyhow, this it really shows that, you know, we can't gain that kind of victory on our own. I mean, it was their faith that made them victorious. And that's the kind of victory we have through him that loved us. Verse 38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he stepped it up from the kind of physical things to the universe, to the greatest things. Yeah. So my question is, can we separate ourselves from God's love?
Chosen to love him.
Mm-hmm.
He has saved us. I think he helps us to keep from separating ourselves that far.
Mm-hmm. Beth.
Well, it says no created thing.
Exactly.
Thing.
Right.
So yeah. That's pretty much
that's
all right.
It pretty much covers all of it.
Yeah. The thing about love, though, is that God, I don't think, a lot of times we don't realize God couldn't love us anymore, no matter what we do, or any less, no matter what we do.
Mm-hmm.
His love, or don't do, or don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Love is consistent, which is something that's really hard for us to grasp.
Right. And the hard part is in our times of weakness, that's where Satan thrives. where he accuses us, you know. And he points out little things, you know, that's not good. You know, you really... And he can accuse all day long, but the reality is our love of God and his love for us is overwhelming. It can't be taken back. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, he tells us, we were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance. See, he gives us the guarantee. It's not just a statement, but he gives us the guarantee. He gives us the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to reassure us, to give us that strength, and to help us further our faith and trust. I don't know how we can get lost. I don't either.
Well, you'd be like the prodigal, maybe, but...
He came back.
Yeah. So, and then me, during my teenage years...
And if we God, if we go away and we come yeah. back, God's going to yeah. rejoice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeannie. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it was up to us,
mm-hmm.
Isn't it also true that you really truly lost your salvation before you ever sinned?
No.
That's a better question. Yeah. Before the foundation. Yeah, and what was that one illustration? I remember I heard it several times where there's a judge on the bench and his son comes before him. And the son is guilty and he judges him guilty and then he gets down off the bench and he comes down and he pays the fine.
Oh, you know? I see that. Yeah.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 1:22, it says, God has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And another guarantee, 2 Corinthians 5:5, he says, he who has prepared us for heaven is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So all through here we keep seeing how the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. Because if we trust Christ, we have the Spirit, and since the Spirit will keep us in the faith and intercede for us, we can be assured that we'll receive the inheritance. Would someone read Psalm 56, 9 through 13? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And then Tom always liked this one, Philippians 1:6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So this is a really neat chapter. We start out with no condemnation, and we end with no separation, and in between, all things work together for good. I like it. Yeah.
How can, well, believers understand, but just to know that.
Right.
Really, and believers need to understand that too. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah. It's hard to get through, though.
Sure, because we can do it ourselves.
Any other comments? All right. So, no Sunday school next week. We're going to be starting out at, is it 10 o'clock? Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Well, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you gave us your Holy Spirit to encourage us, to give us strength and faith and trust in you. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much that you sacrificed your Son on that cross. Lord, we know that we're sinners and we don't deserve your love, but we thank you that you've made a way for us to be glorified, and we look forward to that day that we can be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.